much about.
Mr. President, thank you for joining me.
Well, it's great to be here, Steve.
Is it?
Not particularly, no.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
My big fat ass. Big fat ass. Oh, my God. Look at my ass. Look at my ass. Big fat ass.
God, that is one nice ass.
It was your all bleeding?
No more than usual.
Ah, you're fine. We've all been there.
Hey, everybody. It's Three Quarters Christmas today. It's Three Quarters Christmas. What? What do you mean you don't care? Oh, it's not a thing. You mean?
I know.
I just heard pins. They should put out a pin. Get your pins pin immediately.
Our feature presentation.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
What is that? What did he say exactly?
He was talking about a band named Pins.
Yes.
Pins, okay.
And saying that they, for merchandising, should perhaps put out a pin. Be a very clever clever tie-in.
Sure would.
I think is
okay.
Is what he's suggesting.
I love him. I think everything he does is good. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin DeBeach. It's 5:32. It would be Thursday, the 9th of Rocktober.
Well, that what?
That's not...
Are you serious?
Why?
The people are happy. The people are happy it's Rocktober. Why do you...
Where's the little Rocktober thingy, though?
Why do you hate happiness?
was that you or was that Muggs?
9th of Rocktober. Muggs.
I was so impressed that we had it by the 9th, and we didn't.
No, we didn't.
It wasn't really Muggs, though, not after the conversation we had yesterday. Clearly, he heard that yesterday and was prepared today, right? Tell me the truth. Not for radio, not for ha-ha. Tell me the truth.
Well, I'm sorry. I don't even understand what you're saying. You say I did it and not Muggs?
No, I'm saying when you went for the Rocktober Center, was it there or was it not there?
Oh, I hit the button where the Rocktober sound effect is supposed to be.
So it really was Muggs.
Yes.
Completely ignoring or forgetting 24 hours ago we had this exact same conversation about it, how it had to be up every time.
Only 100%.
Muggs, is that true?
Look, it was a long time.
Is it true or not?
Yeah, 24 hours ago is a long time.
Though, what happened, Muggs?
24 hours ago. That's a long time.
He's Muggs. What do you expect? Why does your dog lick itself, right? It's just
right.
It's because it's a dog.
That's just going to... And it's going to happen again, by the way. Just for the record, just to...
So don't be mad tomorrow?
Get that...
I guarantee you it won't
tomorrow.
Happen.
Oh, well, hold on. Let's get this on tape. Say it again.
I guarantee it won't happen again.
And if it does?
Wait. Again?
You can fire me on the spot.
Again or tomorrow?
We can fire you on the spot? Really?
On the spot.
I would say...
He said again.
Tomorrow. Not again.
Lisa,
but then you said again.
Don't help him.
This is our out, Lisa.
Anytime you need the Rocktober stab, it's going to be up.
Oh, dear God. What is wrong with you?
I set the level high.
You turned an idiot.
He's just dumb.
Oh my God.
When he first started here, he had a pretty rough week, and he said, you know what? I've made all the mistakes I'm going to make. So I'm telling you right now, that's it. That's the last one I'm going to make. And there's so many moving parts to the equipment here.
Yes.
There's something new every day. Like, stuff comes up that I've never seen.
Yeah.
And I've been doing it for a long, long time. And for him to say that, I sat him down in the other room. I was like, dude, listen to me. You haven't made every mistake there is to make.
You have no idea how many mistakes there are to make.
There's so many more. And there'll be more that we can't even predict.
Yeah.
So don't be an idiot and say that. Nope, you'll see.
This one is in my control, and I'm not going to let it slip out.
Okay.
Or, I want to hear it again.
You can fire me on the spot.
Why are you making this commitment today instead of yesterday, by the way, when the exact same thing happened? Like, why do you care now?
Because it's ridiculous already.
What? What does that mean?
Because today he's actually awake.
Okay.
Do you have... Chip says that they made a bet the Muggs would screw it up in the other room.
Oh, okay.
They actually said, you know what? Muggs is not going to have the sound effect ready. And they bet on it. And she won.
Oh, for this morning?
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
That's I should it, have yeah. gotten some action there.
6:30 in the morning is when she picked, or earlier.
Okay.
I gotcha. And headed.
I love that.
Yep.
All right. We probably don't have time for this.
We got plenty.
Exciting story. Really? Should I do it?
Okay. Sure.
You guys have heard about Christian Swingers. That was a thing. ChristianSwingers.com that popped up last year on the internet. Well, that's really a thing now.
I don't know what that is. Is that what it sounds like?
Yes, it's exactly what it sounds like, right. For this story, we go to the great state of, well, you guessed it.
Florida.
That's right. This is a couple that has even taken it one step further. They have incorporated Bible study into their swinging parties. They do both. Their names are Christy and Dean Parave. They are both competitive bodybuilders. They're very religious, and they have started a Christian swinger organization of their own where they trade spouses and discuss the Bible. Christy says, by the way, very attractive people, early 40s, obviously very fit. They're bodybuilders. I don't think God would be mad at us for what we're doing. At first, I was conflicted, but the more we looked at it, the more it makes sense to us. She added that she felt mankind had been created to frolic and fornicate with one another.
All right.
Wow.
God put people on the earth to breed and enjoy each other. I feel that God is always with me, and he has put me here for a reason. They think it is their sacred duty to help get the message out about the importance of having Jesus Christ in one's life, and also sex.
I love that. Oh, and by the way, sex.
Right. Dean, the man in the relationship, he says, I'm getting to people that probably have never even visited church. Hey, God's not going to put a lion in with a bunch of elephants, so what's he going to do? He's going to put a swinger with a bunch of swingers to spread his word. So what they think is that people will hone in on the swinging aspect of it, and then they'll get there and they'll find out, oh, wait, I need to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior? Okay, I'll do that too, because look how hot that woman is.
Yeah.
I'll say whatever you want. So
a Bible verse on a condom, something like that.
Right, exactly.
Right.
So one swinger in the interview says that while the Bible technically says thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, the loophole is, what if thy neighbor's wife wants you to? Christy and Dean say, we are both in agreement with the lifestyle, so we are not committing adultery. So their logic sounds pretty bulletproof on this. They've managed to pretty much justify everything that they're doing biblically.
It's nonsense. I mean, let's be honest.
Look, I don't care if they swing, but there is a thing about just not having sex outside of marriage, right?
Yes, there is.
Yeah.
I think is ridiculous, too.
But they're not bothered by it, so then it doesn't apply to them. Somehow.
Okay.
I don't get that. But.
Well, that's how most people cherry-pick the Bible is. Right. The stuff that I don't care about that doesn't impact my life is the stuff I don't have an opinion on. You know? So anyway, I just thought that was interesting. And again, where is that story?
Florida, the penis. Of America.
Yeah, of course. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Do it.
It is the 9th of October. Ah, shoot, he had it ready. Just trying to throw it in. Dr. Drew will be on the program today.
Mm-hmm.
We're all going to die tonight. That's his message.
Uh-huh.
John Taffer is going to be on the program tonight. I don't know if you see his bar rescue show.
He goes in there.
Very smart man, very intense man.
These bars, some of them run so poorly.
They're disgusting.
It's so funny to watch the American Idol-like response to the judges. You know, like when they go, oh, they don't know what they're talking about. I'm going to make it anyway.
Yeah.
And you see these guys and they're running their business just like hell. And this guy tells them what to do and they get upset.
That's right.
It's bizarre.
Yeah, they want him to help them.
Yep.
Yet they don't want to do any of the stuff he suggests.
Yeah. There is a music festival in Las Vegas called Life is Beautiful, and they have an announcement video that we want to play for you today. It is the most depressing concert announcement video I've ever seen.
Really?
Yeah. It involves suicide, involves the parent dying, involves divorce.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
2.5 minutes of that, and then they go, hey, you need some music that'll cheer you up? It's one of the weirdest things ever.
I'll tell you what, life isn't beautiful. I know that from that video.
And the reason for that, it even got our attention, is Foo Fighters are playing. And it's this month in Las Vegas. So that's pretty cool. Ebola's going to kill you. We'll give you the update on that. We're going to talk about fear of clowns. We're going to talk to the dude who made the song Two Eyeballs when he was 10.
By the way, that, out of all the little Halloween songs that we have been playing this week, that's the one that has captured the imagination of the Kevin and Bean listeners. I've gotten so many emails and tweets from people who say, hey, I need that song as my ringtone. Hey, where can I get the full version of that song? People are definitely falling in love with Two Eyeballs.
Hang on. Hold, please. No, never mind. I was trying to find it. But also, UFC welterweight champion Johnny Hendricks will be on the program today. So that's all coming up. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. It is the world famous K-Rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53 and time for the Showbiz Beat.
Hey, look, it's the 9th of October.
That was me. My bad.
Long as it was there, as long
sorry,
as it was
my
up.
Bad.
Just want to make sure it was up. That's yep. all. Okay. Hey, yeah, Ralph is out this week. He'll return on Monday. In the meantime, we take turns filling in on the Showbiz Beat. Very sad news to start today, and that is, well, I guess we saw the cracks on the Amanda Bynes case a couple of days ago. It started to spiral out of control where she was, wasn't she popped for something, some sort of under the influence driving or something like
think.
That?
DUI maybe.
Yeah, I'm so sad about this. I don't know why this particular one. I mean, usually I don't really care that much about the celebrities. They're just like chess pieces, you know, yeah. on a board that I'm just playing with. But for some reason, this Amanda Bynes thing just seems sad to me. I don't know what
that
is.
Well, it's mental illness. That's
yeah,
why.
I think a lot of the celebrities, you sort of can blame what's
they're
happening
asses.
On
yeah.
them. Yeah, because they're asses. But yeah. when, and she has mental illness, and you go, well, that's not her fault.
So. And it sure seemed like she was fine. I mean, we went 6 months basically without hearing anything yep. about her, which we all took to mean good news. Well, TMZ yesterday reported that she was stopped twice trying to shoplift in New York City.
Oh, my God.
This is somebody, by the way, who has tons of money. Doesn't have anything to do with that. It's not like she's poor, but there's something going on in her head. Customers say that Amanda Bynes was dancing in the store, muttering about plastic surgery. The first time was in a location called Pookie and Sebastian. She said employees began following her around because she was acting suspicious. They didn't recognize her, but they thought she was a half-naked homeless crackhead.
Oh, my God.
When an employee stopped her when she was trying to bolt with a shirt stuffed between her arms, and she asked, am I really going to have to pay for this? And she was told yes, so she actually was cooperative and pulled out a credit card and bought the shirt. And then about an hour after that, she was nabbed by security at Barney's, where she was trying to walk out with a $200 hat. So twice in the course of like an hour and a half or something like that, she was stopped for shoplifting in New York City. So
it's hard to say because if she's mentally ill, you know, how do you predict? But for God's sakes, you just got popped for yeah. shoplifting. You're going to go right to another store and do it again?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And I saw her on Twitter yesterday because Dr. Drew retweeted her. She tweeted that she was going to move to New York permanently and she was going to go to, I think, NYU or Columbia or some school that she mentioned that she was going to study psychology. And Dr. Drew was encouraging her to do that, said that would be a good thing for her. But I can't imagine she's ready for the pressures of school if this is what's going on with her.
Yeah,
you know, the walking around and the muttering and everything like that. So, obviously, we wish Amanda Bynes the best.
Jay Leno is back.
Woo!
Yay!
You sound excited.
Yep. You know, he's got a car collection that is, I think, unrivaled. It's an amazing car collection. He's going to do a special on NBC called Jay's Garage. And he has over 100 cars in his collection.
Wow.
He's got full-time people that are in a warehouse that are there to run the warehouse, keep the cars clean, you
probably
know,
start them up.
Work on them. Yeah, whatever yeah. they need. But he's got old cars. He's got a 1908 Stanley Steamer. That can't be good. You've got to probably shovel coal into it to get it to work. But he loves the cars.
But this is a great thing for him because he doesn't need the money, and this is his passion that he enjoys and loves sharing with and talking to people about. And I think it's perfect. And it's on CNBC, by the way, so it's not like we have to watch
right.
it. It'll be easy for the rest of us to avoid if we don't care about either Jay Leno or old cars. But it's a great fit for him. He definitely seems like a guy who works way too much to be content to just sit around at home.
Yeah, you know? I agree, especially at his young age. Mm-hmm. I mean, for people who retire, how old is he?
What do you think he is, like 62 maybe,
yeah.
something like that?
Okay, I was going to say 50s, but all right. Still, yeah. for him, though, it does yeah. seem like he should keep working.
He loves working. Yeah. That's all he wants to do.
Yeah, true.
I mean, it is astonishing when you think about all those 20-something years that he did The Tonight Show. You know, which is a full-time job, putting on a, you know, an hour of television a night. He would still fly out to cities and do stand-up almost every single weekend.
Right.
I mean, the reason you have a TV show is so that you don't have to fly all around the country and do yeah. stand-up anymore. And he insisted on doing both. So, hard-working man. Here's great news for, well, Beer Mug, for starters.
And KOTB. For those of you who don't know, that's New Kids on the Block.
Your band, Mugs, is going to be getting their star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame this morning at 11:30. It is the 2000 530th star on the Walk of Fame. It's going to be at 7072 Hollywood Boulevard. I don't have in front of me what intersection that's nearby, but if you're a New Kids on the Block fan and you want to go by and you want to congratulate them and see them get their star, you can do that today. Arsenio Hall is going to be there to speak about the band. I don't get the connection there.
What year is this?
It's 2014.
Oh, okay.
Isn't it weird? Wouldn't you have thought that New Kids on the Block, who came out in the late 80s and were done by the early 90s, wouldn't you have thought that they would have just been forgotten to history?
Yeah, I would think so.
It's weird that they have managed to keep that alive, and they still do pretty successful tours, and they're still out there. They still have a fan base.
What time today?
11:30.
11:30.
All right. Hey, great to see you again. Welcome back, man. It's a pleasure, man. Y'all keep rocking, okay?
Thank you.
Arsenio Hall, folks. The people love him.
By the way, they had 5 platinum albums in their time. They had 10 top 10 singles and 5 number ones.
Wow.
So, pretty successful run.
Justin Bieber and Selena Gomez. I don't know if you're following this, but...
I can't keep up.
May be off again.
You mean Jelena? There's a Jelena update?
Jelena is the name they've come up with for Justin Bieber and Selena Gomez. Jelena.
So why are they off? What's going on with the kids?
He had dinner with somebody. You never know. These stories to me are just such throwaway stories because he had dinner with somebody. Okay, fine. Doesn't mean you're in a relationship with him, although he may be. But the bottom line is, honestly, I don't care. I just want him to be unhappy.
Right. I think what happened and what happens in lots of relationships is it's not that he had dinner with some girl. It's that he then lied to Selena Gomez about who he was having dinner with.
Ah.
And I think that's where she goes, hey, wait a minute. But she could do better. Let's be honest.
I think he's the world's biggest douchebag.
There you go. That's right. Mm-hmm. Sharon Osbourne turns 62 years old today to kick off our celebrity birthdays for October the 9th. Also, actor Tony Shalhoub from Monk is 61. Scott Bakula turns 60 today. The phenomenal director Guillermo del Toro is 50 today. Comedian Nick Swardson, 38. And former Superman Brandon Routh. Or is he the current Superman? Is he the guy who currently is Superman in the movies? Or is he the first guy?
Current. He's the current guy. Yeah. I don't know. 50-50 chance. I figured I'll just take a guess because I have no idea.
He is 35 today, and that's the Showbiz Beat. Just after 7 o'clock this morning, we'll talk to Johnny Hendricks. He is the current UFC welterweight champion. All the details on UFC 181. Also, the Kevin O'Bean listener who did the Two Eyeballs song for Halloween. I feel like I'm a little bit nervous to talk to such a big star.
Yeah, very excited.
I mean, he's a musical genius at 10. Got him on the show today. That's all coming up here on the 9th of Rocktober. Still seems sloppy.
Yeah,
seems sloppy. Still seems late.
Yeah.
That's Kevin's fault.
That was my fault. It was there, but let's have it up.
So
I don't have to do that. And then you push it so I don't have to do that.
We're going to get this sorted out just in time for November 1st.
Yesterday we were talking about Foo Fighters and how they're playing Letterman. Then they're going to do their HBO show.
Right.
How excited we were.
I think we're going to have Mr. Grohl on here in the next few days as well, by the way, to talk all about the new album and the series.
Fantastic. I got a tweet from a guy in Vegas saying, hey, if you're a Foo Fighter fan, and by the way, who isn't?
Right.
Right.
I mean, do you know anyone that hates them or doesn't like them?
No. I don't.
At the very worst, they're good.
Right.
So they're maybe one of my top 5. So he says, if you're such a big fan, why don't you come to this festival in Las Vegas?
And Kevin's like, I don't know, man. Going to Las Vegas? Yeah. That's not really me.
It's at the end of this month, and Foo Fighters are playing, so it's Kanye West. So I went to the Life is Beautiful website, and I watched the video that they put up to announce the bands. I've never seen anything like it. I've never seen that. It's so bizarre.
I agree with you, because you would think that an announcement video of the show, and again, you mentioned Kanye West, Foo Fighters, Outkast, Arctic Monkeys, The Flaming Lips. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. It's a great festival. You would think that the focus would be on the music of the festival, the bands that are playing. This would be the exciting video of everybody edited together that would make you go, man, I got to be there. But it's the opposite of that. It's Bummerville.
Yeah, it's the story of this little girl, and... It's really bizarre because it starts out when she's a fetus, and then it shows her growing up and going through adversity. And I think in the end, 2.5 minutes in, before they even mention a single band, she's lived her life. She's got all kinds of problems. Let's go through it just a little bit. This is a minute and a half of the 2.5 minutes because we didn't have time for the whole story. But she starts out in her mother's womb.
At first, there is darkness. And slowly that darkness becomes something more. a rhythm, maybe. And into the doctor's hands we land, as if from a dream. And the hands reach out into the world for what must be discovered.
Okay, so she's like finger painting and discovering what, you know, what life is, basically.
And she's blind, right? Or is she not blind yet?
I don't think she's blind yet, but that does come.
She does end up being blind.
It's the biggest bummer thing I've ever seen. You know, it makes you want to take your own life. And I understand Life is Beautiful Music Festival. I can see the tie-in, but for God's sakes, give me a break.
Finding home, family, community. And these familiar sensations lead us back to where we came from, when the darkness begins to rise again.
All right, now here's where things go south.
She's not blind at the beginning. She goes blind.
Correct,
she looks like she's about
I think you're right,
eight or nine or something like that, and that's she's talking about the darkness coming, so she's losing her sight. I got you now.
So
okay.
The darkness comes back in every way, by the way.
Mm-hmm. And suddenly the world surrounds us, and some would claim that there is no music to be found in this.
I think it's at this point, and I'm not making this up, that mom sees the little girl with scissors trying to cut her wrist.
Oh, dear God.
And mom grabs the scissors from her just to say, hey, you know, it's not that bad.
And we're watching this going, hey, we just want to find out when the Foo Fighters are playing.
You know, even if. I mean,
taking us on a journey here.
We still don't know. But, okay, so now she's gone blind and she's trying to kill herself. So that's what's happening so far in this great video for the Life is Beautiful Fest.
Only the place where we came from and the long retreat that follows. Like a refrain from a favorite but forgotten song that follows us through so many disappointments, but also so many triumphs.
So now she's, you know, she's at the dinner table and mom and dad are arguing. Clearly, they're upset with each other. Things are not going well in the house. Probably they're going to get divorced. It looks like. I mean, right, Bean? I mean, they give you the... They insinuate that.
I think the parents are breaking up, but that's right before mom dies, right?
Yeah, then mom dies.
That song, which is everything we have become and are becoming, so quiet we can barely hear it sometimes, and yet still as loud as all the world. Eventually, we grow stronger as the years fall behind like bitter foes vanquished.
All right, I think it's there that mom dies.
And she's at the funeral, and she's got the little pink ribbon on her black dress, which suggests breast cancer is what she died from. But she's still sitting there, so she's blind now, and she's at her mother's funeral. And this is making me go, I got a party in Vegas. I have got to get to Las Vegas for this Kanye West show.
This is the announcement for the bands.
Right. This is what you have to sit through to get to the lineup.
Little girl goes blind, tries to kill herself, mom dies, parents divorce. Take it easy.
What's going on?
You are bumming me out.
You know what this isn't? Life is beautiful.
Right.
We're like
this
friends
isn't.
Lost suddenly and then remembered wistfully from a distance.
Sure, mom.
As a noise inside us gains focus, like a seashell, we hold it to our ears and it speaks of all the distant places we have traveled to arrive here. It teaches us how to be intrigued even when we don't yet comprehend. To find love, even when there is no longer softness. To find truth, even when there is no longer a reason for it.
I would like to suggest that that you're trying too hard. Maybe.
Yeah, this voiceover is not doing anything for me. All right, so she's grown up now. She looks like she's around 20. She turns into a very beautiful woman. Now she has a girlfriend.
Yep.
And she's drumming in a band?
Yes, she found a band that she's the drummer for.
She's a drummer for a band, and she's got a girlfriend. Okay, and she's getting a tattoo here in a second.
To find light, even in the darkness, or to find light in a song to guide us home again.
And then they finally start with the lineup.
That is the weirdest.
Why would you bum everybody out so much? Cute little girl. Nothing but tragedy. She's deaf, and then she goes blind. And then she's trying to commit suicide, and then the parents divorce, and then the mom dies. All of that happens before they start telling us who the bands are.
It is an odd strategy. Is it supposed to make you just feel full of joy that you're happy that none of this stuff happened to you and now I'm really going to enjoy every second of my life because I can't? I mean, what are they trying to get me to feel when I see this?
I don't know. To me, I think what they want you to feel is that music is always there and it's part of what makes life beautiful, even in difficult times. I think.
Okay.
But we shouldn't have to go through that many bad times to get to the bands.
I do feel bad. I'm not feeling good after seeing this ad.
I want to check on that girl. Just to see, like, what the hell's going on. Anyway, it's you can still buy single day tickets, I think, for this festival later this month. But you might run into this girl. She's quite a bummer.
I would steer clear.
Do not hang with her. All right, good. I'm happy.
I love today.
I'm happy with that. I think that was good. I like it.
This show is not going into the permanent time capsule. That's what I'm saying.
How dare you?
They're going to take back that award, you guys.
Every hour this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show, like we've been doing all week, we have been hooking you up with tickets for a Fast Fright. That's at the Queen Mary Dark Harbor. You can skip the line for all the mazes. Tickets on sale now at queenmary.com. We just gave a pair to Cliff Osborne from Alhambra. Thanks so much for listening. Your chance to win coming up between 7 and 8. If we're still alive, then.
Bum, bum, bum.
I gotta tell you, I know we are famous for whipping people into a needless frenzy. I know that that's our whole thing. I am actually starting to get worried about this Ebola. Now, hear me out.
You're not.
I really am. No, now, hear not. Me out. All right. Yesterday, the government announced that they are going to start airport screening now at 5 airports around the United States. They are JFK in New York, New Jersey's Newark Airport, Chicago's O'Hare, Washington's Dulles, and Atlanta's Hartsfield. Mm-hmm. And I assume that those are all Midwest East Coast airports because that's where the planes would be most likely to land coming back from West Africa, right? That's why they don't have them on the West Coast because nobody's flying from Liberia to Los Angeles, right?
Right.
Probably, yeah.
So they're going to be checking for people with fevers because that's when you're contagious, they say, with the Ebola is when you have a fever of 101 or higher. However, yesterday, there was a lot of talk from people who sound like they're smart, who are doctors, who know what they're talking about, that there's a possibility that Ebola has mutated and now might be transmitted through the air.
It's time to whip people into a needless frenzy.
Whipping people into a needless frenzy. Whipping people into a needless frenzy. Hide your kids, hide your wife, because you're all going to die. Whipping people into a needless frenzy. You're all going to die.
2 months ago, the CDC updated their criteria for Ebola transmission to include, quote, being within 3 feet, end quote, or, quote, in the same room, end quote, as someone infected with the virus. Now, does that sound a little bit different than what maybe we've been thinking up till this
point? Yes, because all we've heard is that you get it through
literal contact with
fluids.
Yeah.
Fluids, right. So it's not – even if they cough, you know, near you – you won't get it, is what we've been told.
Right.
But CNN, by the way, I don't know if you've been watching CNN.
This is their new Malaysian plane. This is 24/7 every day of the week is all Ebola all the time.
The first person diagnosed with Ebola in the United States died, and I'm quoting here, an insidious death.
Did they add the stabs too?
No, it's me.
By the way, I saw Insidious Death last night. They are really good.
Oh, they're great.
You guys should try and catch them. More CNN.
He traveled here to America for the very first time, according to relatives, from Liberia. We are getting now some breaking news into us here at CNN about an individual in Texas who is exhibiting signs and symptoms of Ebola.
Okay.
Wait a second here. Now, you kid, and I know you're playing around here.
I am.
But listen to the circumstances under which this second man in Texas may have contracted the Ebola.
I'm not positive if we have the whole story. Let's hear.
What we can tell you is that he's a deputy sheriff, Aaron, and that he was inside the apartment where Duncan was staying.
Why do we have this one?
I don't know.
That's a terrible one.
It's not terrifying.
That's a cartoon one. They go on.
And officials are now taking new steps tonight to prevent an old Ebola outbreak in the United States.
Now it's an old Ebola.
Okay. Here's the part
been
you cut out.
Been around for a while.
The part you cut out is that deputy went into the Texas man who died of Ebola, went into his apartment days after the guy was taken out of the apartment.
Right.
So how did he get it? Ebola is not supposed to survive on a surface for more than a couple of hours. the guy wasn't around. It couldn't have possibly been in the air. How did he get it if he, in turn, actually has the Ebola? How would he have gotten transmitted to him? A study conducted in 2012 showed the Ebola virus was able to travel between pigs and monkeys that were in separate cages but never placed in direct contact.
What?
Dr. Gary Gobringer from the National Microbiology Laboratory at the Public Health Agency of Canada told the BBC News nearly 2 years ago that he believed that Ebola was spread by droplets suspended in the air. What we suspect is happening is large droplets, they can stay in the air not long and they don't go far, but they can be absorbed in the airway, and that's how the infection starts. And that's what we think. Because we saw a lot of evidence in the lungs of the non-human primates that the virus got in that way. Guys, this, right?
I don't, there's no question there. Except for, right, this. You're not really worrying, right?
I'm really worried.
That's insane.
What about the NBC News cameraman who got the Ebola, even though he was wearing full body protective gear the whole time he was covering the story? What about him?
I think I have the Ebola.
The only good thing that's come out of this Ebola crisis is the best ever theme song for an infectious disease. Am I right?
Ebola. Ebola. Don't touch your friend. No touching. No eating. Something's dangerous. Ebola. Ebola. Don't touch your friend. No kissing. No eating. Something's dangerous.
What would possess an artist to take Ebola, which is devastating? Liberia.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 200, what is it, 250 deaths or something like that?
No, it's about 3,430, I think, is where we're at right
so
now.
This
not
guy
that
goes,
I'm paying close attention.
Right, no. So this guy goes, yeah, a lot of people are dying. Let me think, what do we need? We need a hit. We need a nightclub song.
Well,
people need to shake their ass.
No, they wrote that song to spread the word among people about how to not get it. That's what the lyrics are supposed to be. Yeah, the lyrics are supposed to be helping people avoid contracting Ebola.
Don't touch the monkey. Is that code?
Yeah. I think they literally mean don't touch the monkey.
Ebola, Ebola, don't touch a friend. Don't touch it. No eating, something dangerous.
All right. Tatiana writes in on the Kevin and Bean Twitter page, at Kevin and Bean. You guys, they based the disease in 28 days later on Ebola. So basically, we're screwed because zombies, hashtag needless frenzy. I'm with you, Tatiana. Run! Look, I already don't leave my house, but now I'm going to not leave my house even more.
The Walking Dead is happening in real life as well as this Sunday.
That's right.
And we're all going to die.
What now? What's happening?
I got 1 hour of sleep last night.
It shows.
What happened was that song faded, and then I started talking. 106.7 K-Rock, it's K-R-O-Q. And then I turned on my mic. So that went on. That happened. Yeah.
Hey, we'll talk UFC 181 with Johnny Hendricks, the champ. Joins us coming up right after the top of the hour. First, though, this hour in for Ralph Garman, it's our good friend Lisa May.
What?
What's going on, Lisa?
More Stephen Collins news. It just won't end.
Is it getting worse?
Yeah. Well,
oh, no.
I don't know worse. It's curious, though. Couple of things. First of all, everybody knows he's the actor from Seventh Heaven who his ex-wife taped their therapy sessions, and in those tapes, he admitted to being a child molester.
Right.
So, apparently, a senior law enforcement official in New York has now come out and said that a relative of his first ex-wife went to them in 2012 and complained of being molested by him.
Really?
Yeah. When she was 14 years old, it happened inside his Greenwich Village apartment.
Wow.
But
that's ugly.
The statute of limitations had expired. So there was nothing, and wow. There is nothing they can do about that. But they say they are investigating other claims by other peoples because maybe there's somebody else that the statute of limitations hasn't run out on. So that's one. And then two,
his... That whole story is ugly.
Oh, my right? God. Right. His ex-wife's second ex-wife, the one who taped those therapy sessions, Faye Grant, says that she had nothing to do with the release of the recording.
Why?
She says she woke up to learn that this private recording had been that she handed over to authorities in 2012 in connection with this criminal investigation. She had no idea it was being released to the media. She had nothing to do with that.
I don't think I buy that.
I don't think so either.
That's weird.
Because
I mean, how
the police
else
wouldn't do that?
Who
right?
does it help? Who, you know? Who
yeah,
else?
Who benefits? Just her, I would think.
Only her.
And society, by the way.
Well, yes.
For his crimes
point.
Being revealed.
Okay, yeah, I could see that.
But again, who would have made the decision now to release that if it was not spurred on by her? That is very confusing. I don't
well,
know.
You know who has the answer to that is TMZ.
Yeah, I'm sure because yeah. they're the ones who got the tape in the first place.
Yeah.
Right. So we know he was fired from TED 2. He resigned from the SAG-AFTRA board, and now he had apparently shot some scenes in Scandal, and those have been cut.
Ah.
So he is done.
Yeah, he is he's a pariah now. I wonder if, you know, how far back these incidences are and if there will be charges and prosecution and trials and jail and all of that. I wonder what his future is.
I don't know, but there's a lot of investigating going on. And in a related freaky story, one of the actors who starred in Seventh Heaven with him passed away in her sleep at the age of 40.
Ebola?
No, they think it's on
Ebola.
I heard she drove by a house where a guy used to have Ebola and it killed her.
And it just got her.
That's what
I heard. Well, maybe, although they're saying heart condition is suspected. Her name is Sarah Daniel Goldberg. She also went by Sarah Daniel Madison. She was in Seventh Heaven. She also was in Training Day, My Best Friend's Wedding, Judging Amy. So that's very weird and very sad.
Is there a curse here?
I'm wondering.
It's weird.
So good news, Ghostbusters reboot is a go, and it's all funny ladies.
Now, how? Yay! Let's go to Mr. Ghostbusters
really?
On this, Kevin, your second favorite movie of all time. How do we feel about a new Ghostbusters for the new century with all ladies?
Are you menstruating right now?
Who is it?
Well, okay, see, that's the important question.
That depends.
They haven't said, okay. But Paul Feig is going to be the director. He directed The Heat and Bridesmaids, which okay. are both hilarious. And he's teaming up with the woman who wrote The Heat.
Adele Dazeem.
No, that's not her name.
Okay.
Katie Dippold. So, I mean, at least we know the script is going to be great.
Yeah.
And the direction's going to be great.
Sure.
And they've had very funny women in their previous movies. So I think this might be great.
Might be good.
And I can't imagine Melissa McCarthy won't be one of them, by
right,
the way.
Right, right.
They love her, and they've worked with her in those other two movies. And she'd be great in a movie like
this. I love her, too.
Yeah,
I'll
awesome.
Watch anything she's in.
Yeah.
So I'm happy about
so
that.
So funny.
And the other question besides the actresses is they're probably going to get some woman to sing the Ghostbusters theme for this movie, too. And people are already speculating who that might be.
What? Are you kidding?
No.
Tadolf Swindler?
Who knows?
Oh, please.
That just killed Kevin.
End of civilization right there.
Kevin, we always talk about why do they keep rebooting everything?
Right.
Are you happy about this, about them making a new Ghostbusters, or do you wish they had just done some original script that had nothing to do with the old Ghostbusters?
I'm not a person that cares about that kind of stuff. You know what okay. I mean? Like, I love the original.
And there's room for the new one if it's good.
Yeah, I don't care that they're remaking it. It doesn't bother
well,
me.
Well, and I love that they're really doing it in a new way.
Right, different angle.
Yeah.
And if Melissa McCarthy's in it, I'm in.
But the only reason they're doing it in a new way, let's all remember, is because Harold Ramis died.
Well, there's that.
Yeah.
Which kind of makes me sad, because I would have loved to have seen that.
No, I agree.
But as long as Bill Murray's in.
Back off, man. I'm a scientist.
You see him?
I don't know.
By the way, the Ebola got to Ramis, too. I don't know if you guys know that.
What?
So much deeper than we knew. Generally sad news when people break up, but this time I am just so happy because it means that Robin Thicke is going to shut the F up.
I'm not sure he will.
He has to. She filed the papers, finally.
How long has this been going on?
Well, they split up in, like, the early part of this year, and he's been singing and pleading and crying for Paula Patton, his ex-wife, well, estranged wife, to come back since then.
It's been sad. Yes. It's been very sad.
On stage, you know.
In interviews.
MTV, when they did the awards, he did it.
Everywhere.
It's crazy. He's been just begging publicly for a long time, and finally she just said, nope, sign here.
Filing the papers.
I'm out.
Yeah.
And that was because she alleges that he cheated on her, right?
He's admitted it. He did an interview in New York in July, and he said, I'm a man, I messed up, and I had to lie for a while, and then I stopped lying. And that was good for me because I was tired of lying.
Right.
He's just a big fat liar.
Wow. Wives are so uptight.
Yeah. It's all us. Celebrity birthdays. Sharon Osbourne is 62. Tony Shalhoub is 61. Scott Bakula, who I still think is hot, is 60. Yeah.
Wow.
Guillermo del Toro is 50.
Or whatever his name is.
That's it, isn't it? Guillermo del Toro. I'm sorry. Comedian Nick Sorsden is 38. And that's the showbiz beat.
I know it's not even Halloween yet. It's not even Columbus Day yet, but we're already looking ahead toward December 6th at the Mandalay Bay Event Center in Las Vegas. It is UFC 181, the rematch maybe you've been waiting for between Johnny Big Rig Hendricks and his number one contender, Ruthless Robbie Lawyer. We are very excited to welcome Mr. Hendricks back to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hey, Johnny, how are you, buddy?
Doing great. How are you doing?
Very good. We're doing fine. I guess my first question has to be, because you train out of Dallas, how are you avoiding getting the Ebola?
That's a great question. don't go around anybody.
Okay, good.
You know what I mean? I go around my my group, and it's actually been perfect. We train about 4 miles from there. So we try to avoid anybody from Dallas or going anywhere to Dallas.
Yeah, I think that's smart. Be careful with that, man. You don't want to be messing around with the Ebola when you got a big fight coming up.
You don't want to be messing with anything.
No,
I mean,
not really.
Like a little cold.
By the way, maybe just float the rumor that you have it, because then your opponent, you know, Robbie, will not want to get close. Maybe that's how you want to go.
Yeah, there you go.
speaking of hospitals, you have been away for a while. Your last fight was when? Back in March, I want to say. And you had some surgery between then and now. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I blew my bicep the first round against Robbie. And they had to go in there and fix it up, make it look like a muscle, put it back in my bone, and that's sort of why I've been out.
And what is that like coming back from something like that? I mean, you're used to injuries, just in the course of your job. But, I mean, you're starting from scratch with something that's very tender. I'm sure you want to get right back to training, but you can't. You've got to let that thing heal. How long did it take before you started to feel comfortable with it that you could treat it just like a regular muscle?
Once the doctor told me, realistically, about, a month into it, I was itching to work out. You know what I mean? I was like, guys, I know I'm good.
Right.
I know I can do stuff. And, I would do little things with it, but nothing crazy because I wanted to make sure that it healed right, because they kept telling me if it tears now, it's going to be twice as long. So it's going to be, instead of having a brace on for 6 weeks, it's going to be 12 weeks. And so I was like, oh, crap, I don't want to do that. So I started really focusing on doing the right thing. Did therapy. Once therapy was done, they said, hey, go have fun with it. Mm-hmm. And I started doing that. And the next thing I know, we test loaded it. We started training hard to see how it would do. And they gave us the fight.
Is there something in the back of your mind that sort of reminds you of things like that when you're in the ring? Or are you able to block it out? Even if it's better,
you got to sit there. You got to – it's weird the way that the way that we've done it is don't even think about it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Whenever I'm training, I don't think about it. And whenever I'm doing certain things, you just got to say, hey, I'm clear, everything's good, and that's the way I'm focusing on it, is that right there. because if you constantly think about it or do this, you're going to baby it, or then you might hurt it again.
Yeah.
Right. Well, one of the things, this is the voice of Johnny Hendricks here on the Kevin Abeen Show, by the way, UFC welterweight champion. We're talking about his fight coming up December 6th. It's the rematch with Lawler. Tickets are on sale now through Ticketmaster. One of the things that's great about you guys, a lot of you UFC fighters, is you are excellent at compartmentalizing. That's one thing you guys know how to do, is focus on what's important and block out everything else that isn't going to help you win a fight.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing is, once you sort of have to, you have to get to where you can sit there and say, all right, this is my task at hand. How do I accomplish it? You're going to get injured. You're going to get beat up. You're going to have this, and this going into a fight. How do I overcome that? And that's, I think, what separates a lot of the people.
Robbie gave you a great fight last time and ended up going all five rounds. I'm sure you've had the opportunity to go back and watch that a couple of times. What do you think you should have done differently that you're going to take into this fight December 6th?
One, have two good arms. You know what I mean?
That'll
get
help.
In there healthy.
Yeah.
I got to go in there. I can't have a – because I tore my bicep 10 days before the fight. It completely blew the first round, So that sort of hurt me, it definitely being able to get takedown. Because every time I get in close,
right.
I'd do it, but I wouldn't want to go for it.
Yeah.
That's one thing. I got to make sure I train smarter this time. Second is mixing it up a little bit better. The third round, he started hitting me, tagging me, and I didn't mix it up good enough to keep it where it didn't happen. So those are very important things that I'm going to have to do.
Strategically, is it easier to do a rematch because you already fought him? Or is it more difficult?
That's a good question. I don't know yet. It's easier on the training part of it because you sort of know what they're going to do. You know what I mean? Okay, he did this, and that.
Right.
And you get to watch what he did to you.
Right.
Those are great things to be able to watch. If we can mimic them and actually implement them in the next fight, that's going to be the confidence booster. Does that make sense?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, that does. I can't remember whose famous quote it was, and it might have been about boxing, but it was something about having to do with a great plan goes out the window as soon as you start getting hit in the face. I mean, and I'm sure that's what you run into all the time, Johnny, is that you practice these things, you train these things, you know in your mind, all right, if he does this, I'm going to do that. But now you're actually in the octagon, and sometimes that stuff's got to just go out the window when you just try to, hey, I got to stay alive here.
Well, you know what? Realistically, sometimes what you got to do is five game plans. You're going to have to mix all five game plans. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
You can't sit there and say, okay, I got two game plans. That's going to win me the fight. Or this game plan is only the thing that's going to win me the fight. And that's one thing that I've learned is don't be picky. Move over here, do this, do that, move from A to F.
Take whatever's available.
From each one.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, because it's a constantly shifting environment. Absolutely. Well, you guys are smart to think
exactly.
Like that. That's awesome.
One last question for you, Johnny, and that is the last time we talked to you, we were told that you were in bed. You're not in bed now, are you?
No.
Okay, good. All right, just checking. Just wanted to make sure.
Sounded like you kind of wanted that just a little bit, Kevin. Kevin's got a visual here.
Nope, not really.
A little uncomfortable with it.
I wanted to make sure. Just needed to know what was going on.
UFC 181 is going to be Hendricks versus Lawler, the rematch at the Mandalay Bay Event Center in Las Vegas. It's going to be a great night of fights. Great undercard as well. And you can be there in person if you want to get your tickets now through Ticketmaster. Johnny, always great to have you on the Kevin Abeen Show, man. We really appreciate the time. Good luck in December, sir.
Hey, thank you, sir.
A lot of love from the listeners on your final question to the champ a few minutes ago there, Kevin. A lot of people suggesting maybe we would have been better off just to hang up on him early.
Yeah.
Jenna writes in, can you please put that question in the file,
yeah.
Kevin?
Yeah.
What the F were you thinking? Seriously, not in bed. Sincerely, Jenna.
Kevin, the interview killer.
I heard the question and the answer in my head, and it went much better than in reality.
It
so,
did.
My bad.
It did end the interview on a down note.
Yeah, my bad.
Sure.
I ruined
hey,
it.
Hey, We had Kat Corbett in here yesterday filling in for Ralph Garman on the show's beat. We love Kat, and we were talking about new TV, and there's so many. Every night it seems like there, you know, The Flash debuted this week. There's new shows all the time coming on, and we were all excited about American Horror Story, which returns after some time away with its all-new season, new, you know, some of the same cast members returning in new roles. And she said, I'm not going to watch that show. And we was like, it's so awesome. Why not? And she said, can't handle the clowns. And it has been a while since we talked about that. But Kat is one of, apparently, millions of people who just are still terrified of clowns, even as adults, even though they know better, even though they know they're not real. They're not dangerous. They're not scary. But they can't get past whatever it is about clowns that bugs them.
And I think it's common. I think there are a lot of people feel that way.
Being your wife feels that way. My boyfriend feels that way.
Right? I don't understand it.
I don't either.
It's called coulrophobia, I think is how you pronounce it. It is the fear of clowns. And I was trying to get into this a little bit with Kat yesterday. Like, is she afraid of Ronald McDonald, for instance? I mean, he's a clown, but he's clearly...
He's a ha-ha clown, though.
Right? So, in other words, it's the clowns that look like the American Horror Story clown. Dave, you saw the show last night.
I did, yes.
Super scary-looking clown, right?
The clown is effing freaky. And especially since he doesn't speak or anything. It just stands there and it looks at you and, you know, does a little clown trick for you. And then it kills you. And then repeatedly stabs and stabs and stabs. And it has a smile on its face that doesn't move.
Yeah.
So you don't want to see that.
Are you afraid of clowns, Dave? Because you're pretty afraid of most things.
Yeah. I'm afraid of Pennywise from It.
Yeah.
I'm not really afraid of them, but when I Googled clowns American Horror Story
right.
to try to get a picture of it for you guys, it was not pleasant. It was not fun.
Enjoy
and
that.
I recommend everyone doing it.
Well, yeah, because this clown is one of the ugliest ones I've ever seen.
Yeah, like, it's crazy. But then you see like all these other different clowns and you're just like, it doesn't freak me out, but I don't want to look at it. You know what I mean?
And there was none of that. He wasn't riding a bike or blowing a horn. I think it'd be interesting to hear from our Kevin and Bean listeners about their clown fears and what it is about clowns that scares them so much and why they feel like even as adults when they can rationalize it away, they don't. I'd love to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067.
I was thinking about this yesterday, and my theory is, I came up with a theory, which is when you look at people, there's a lot going on. You're sizing them up. You can tell what mood they're in. You can sort of get a real feel for somebody just by visually, you know, looking at them, and this takes that away.
That's interesting.
And
it removes the facial cues that you depend on to know whether you're in a safe situation.
And because it's way too happy, you know that's not true. Right? So you automatically are negative on that one.
But Lisa, what does your boyfriend say?
He just thinks they're creepy, and it's the fact that you don't know what's going on beneath that freaky smile. It's like everybody else.
It's the fake painted on smile that you don't trust.
Right.
Now, would you, Dave, be afraid if you were, say, at the circus and they were out there just rolling around with a ball or boxing a bear or whatever it is they do at the circus? I mean, would that be – or is it – that's not a frightening enough situation. They have to be in a real-life situation. Like, you'd come across one in a parking garage, you'd be afraid, but maybe not see him in the big top.
You know, I think it's because the circus will probably be lit up, you know, and if you see a regular clown in a dark area, you're thinking the worst. And how many people actually find clowns funny? Like,
oh, they're not.
Yeah,
I mean, for the most part,
they're
supposed
to entertain you and make you laugh. But
I think they're for little kids, though. I think little kids are attracted to the painted face and everything.
Ever since I could remember what a clown was, I've always had like fear of a clown.
Isn't
you know what I mean?
Interesting.
Well, like, Poltergeist didn't help.
Exactly. No. Yeah, and you don't grow up thinking, oh, clowns are funny. They're here for entertainment. All you think is they're creepy. And I don't know why that is, but
when that impression gets made when you're young, too,
it stuck with you.
It sticks with you the rest of your life.
And I think a lot of people will go to the circus, and it's not like they're going to run out screaming, but they may feel kind of icky and uneasy.
Right.
When the clowns are there.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how kids watched Bozo the Clown growing up.
I did. I never thought twice about it.
And then there's Krusty the Clown, and who's kind of sad and freaky.
And
you're just like, ugh. And, you know, if they made a horror episode with Krusty the Clown, that would... kill the Simpsons.
Krusty the Clown is not a whore.
Whore. Oh, by the way, we got to take a break. Then we're going to come back with your calls at 1-800-520-1067 about your clown fears. But I think Kat brought up an excellent point yesterday on the show, too, which is that John Wayne Gacy didn't help.
No.
Because he was something that we learned about as an adult, a guy who used to dress up like a clown, pick up little boys, and then murder them. And that was about 33 kids or something like that. So, I mean, that's a legitimate thing to be afraid of.
Yeah.
Is when you see something like that in the news.
Wouldn't that be freaky to have a picture of him in your office?
Oh, who would
do
that?
Oh, it'd be terrifying.
That'd be horrible.
It'd be so hawked out.
Bean All right. has one on the wall. Bean has a photo of that on the wall in his house.
Don't, first of all. It's a painting by John Wayne Gacy himself of Pogo the Clown. Better or worse? Worse. 1-800-520-1067. What's up with you and your clown fear? We'll talk to you next on K-Rock. Hope someone's alarm clock went off right during the guitar solo in the middle of Icky Thought. That's a great way to wake up on a Thursday. Talking about clowns, dear Kevin and Bean, Nicole writes in, everything about this topic makes my stomach hurt. I went to a circus with my younger siblings as a teen, and the clowns that came into the stand really horrified me. I literally told one of them, if it came any closer or touched me, I would punch it in the face. Wow. They are the creepiest, weirdest, most icky people in the world. I am convinced no good person wants to be a clown for a living. Even Cam's clown on Modern Family makes me queasy. I can't say it enough. They are the worst. Hi, Lisa May, says Nicole. We're talking about this because American Horror Story returned last night. Here's a clip of the very, very creepy clown on that show from last night.
Oh, clown, you're so talented. Please, release us so we can tell the world. Please. Please.
That doesn't sound good.
Yeah, that clown is not going to help people with their fear of clowns, that's for sure. All right, let's take some calls at 1-800-520-1067. So many great calls on the line. Why don't we start with Jessica? She's on line 7. She's in Newport.
All right. Hi, Jessica.
Good morning, guys. Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
Fear clowns.
Yes. I like to preface this with the fact that I am one of those free kids who loves all things scary and horror. I'm the girl who goes to sleep watching poltergeists and stuff like that.
Okay, so that's kind of your wheelhouse.
Yes, that's my world. Those
okay.
are my people. However, I hate clowns. It's making me shiver thinking about it. I mean, for example, I was eating at the Santa Monica Promenade, and a street performer walked by dressed as a clown. And not only did I hit the ground trying to hide from it, I started sobbing.
That's a weird reaction from somebody who loves horror.
Yes,
so in other words, if a guy had jumped out with a chainsaw, you would have been fine with it. But a clown goes by with a bunch of balloons, and that's terrifying to you.
Yeah, like chainsaw, straight giggles, clown sobs. I was on the LA Haunted Hayride last year, and at the very end, I'm laughing, I'm having a great time, clowns, straight tears.
Wow, what do you think that's about?
I went to the circus a lot when I was a kid, and I was also one of those children where my parents kind of let me read anything I wanted.
Right.
I was a victim of Stephen King's It, I think.
Sure.
Showers were an issue for me after that book.
You've got a lot going on in your head, Jessica.
But yeah, it's something about their creepy smiles, maybe the colors. I don't know. Like, it's giving me anxiety even talking about it.
I think one of them is right behind you right now.
Stop that.
Nice.
It looks like it.
Stop that indeed.
Thank you for the call, Jessica. We appreciate it. Hey, it's funny, Lisa, because she brought up the circus, too. I mean, do you think the intention of the circus clowns is to make the kids laugh?
Yes.
That's what they're trying to do? Then why are so many so traumatized by something that's meant for them to be fun?
I don't know, but... they have not gotten that message yet.
I feel weird about like the background searches that are going on. Most of these are for kids' parties, like we said.
Yeah.
You don't know who that is showing up.
Right.
Like, that's weird.
Let's go to Scott. Speaking of the circus, he's in Manhattan Beach, and he is on line 6 up next here on the Kevin and Bean Show talking about coulrophobia, the fear of clowns.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning, Scott.
Uh-huh. I don't have any other irrational fears, but clowns freak me out. And when I worked at Madison Square Garden, I did event settlement. And the person I had working for me who handled the circus went out on medical leave. My boss is like, nope, you got to handle it. So I go down there to where their offices are down the bottom. And there are all these clowns freaking walking around. And I finally grabbed the guy and go, we are going upstairs to my office. I can't deal with this anymore.
So what do you think it is? What do you think the reason is that clowns?
I think I watched a couple of horror films when I was a kid, and these clowns are just so creepy. But they just flipped me out because my boss walked by and saw that I dragged the guy upstairs and was hysterical. That
right, sure.
The whole, they're just like the most evil, creepy things on the face of the earth.
I love it.
This is unbelievable. Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it. By the way, several listeners have alerted us to a story that's going on in Wasco, California, which is in Central California. I think it's over by Bakersfield, maybe, that late at night and in the middle of the night, there is one or more people dressed as clowns walking around the town holding balloons. And they have been photographed.
For what?
Nobody knows.
What?
The police say, look, they're not doing anything. They haven't, you know, they haven't broken any laws, been involved in any crimes or something like that. But now there are people who are going out. Driving around the city at night looking for them to figure out what's going on, but there's been several sightings of clowns in the middle of the night in Wasco, California. And people are not sleeping better as a result of that. All right, let's do one more. Let's go to Rissa. She's on line one in Long Beach. I think she might have a story for us.
Hey, Rissa? Risa?
Yeah.
Rissa?
Hi. My mom was a clown when I was a kid, so it didn't bother me because I could watch her put on the makeup and put on the wig, and I could see her actually changing over into, you know, what the clown is. But
right.
With other clowns, it's so unsettling because you don't know who's behind that, and it's just this, it's almost grotesque the way that clowns makeup is, and it's
but I would think you in particular features. Though, because of the experience with your mom, you could not be afraid of another one because you would know it's just somebody else's mom or dad wearing makeup.
I don't know that. How would I know that?
Yeah.
I don't know who's behind that. And it's just like Kat was saying yesterday too, it's just that fake plastered on smile that you don't know actually what's going on underneath it. I'm getting shaky talking about it.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, Rissa. Based on the email we read a minute ago, do you think there is something fundamentally wrong or bad or evil about people who choose to play clowns?
No.
Okay.
But you don't know.
That's the thing is you don't know. Right?
You don't know.
Okay.
There's no way of knowing.
All right. Let me squeeze in one more if you don't mind. I want to talk to Chris. Hi, Chris.
Good morning. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning.
Do you love clowns, right?
I cannot stand them. Right now, as you're speaking about it, my hands are clammy and my heart is just, like, racing.
What?
And I am just, like, shivering right now because I hate even the horn of a clown just thinking about them. Oh, thanks a lot.
What about this? Uh-oh.
I think they're getting close, Chris.
Oh, my God.
Look out. The clowns are coming inside the house.
I would like to remind everybody on the clown topic that the Armenian comedian is a clown.
Well, he's the least threatening guy in the world, though.
He's Mr. Clown, though.
Until he's a clown.
Okay. A lot of people very upset by us even discussing the C word here on the radio this morning.
I know. Thank you, Lisa. It's world famous K-Rock at 7:52.
Thanks for tuning in here on a Thursday. Ralph is on vacation this week. He'll be back Monday. In the meantime, we are filling in on the Showbiz Beat. And this hour, the wheel landed on Christine, who is our assistant producer here on the Kevin and Bean Show. I don't think she's happy about being in here and asked to do this, but let's give it a shot. Hi, Christine.
Well, you know, it is my first time, so I'd appreciate everyone being a little gentle.
Get
this
to
morning.
It! Hurry up! Stop wasting our time.
So basically, Jennifer Lawrence, right?
Is the best person ever.
She's
absolutely
the best.
Well, and a goer, apparently.
Apparently. If you ever wanted to know how to date Jennifer Lawrence or a girl like her, she tells you in this month's Vanity Fair, which is in newsstands today. And basically, it's not what you'd expect from somebody like that, I don't think.
Okay.
Her number one thing is she loves a guy who loves reality TV. Specifically, shows that she mentions are Dance Moms, Doomsday Preppers. I've never even heard of that show. The Real Housewives, all episodes, all cities.
All of The Real Housewives?
Oh, and Shark Tank. So if you can appreciate some, you know,
I thought
bad reality
perfect.
TV, right.
I thought she was perfect right until now.
By the way, Christine, we love Doomsday Preppers and have talked about those people multiple times on this show.
Apparently not paying
that's
attention.
That's an awesome show about people who really believe the world is ending and they build warehouses full of stuff to live on for, you know, off the grid. It's amazing.
And they have bunkers, they have weapons. It's awesome.
That's so awesome. Well, yeah. She also mentions a guy who isn't afraid to fart in front of her.
Oh, good.
So that, pretty much, I think all of you guys qualify for that.
Wow.
A guy who is willing to eat. I think she's the person who brought Slim Jims into the Oscars. Is that right? So I don't think she's somebody who's looking for someone who's really a health nut or anything.
Sure.
And she apparently has a huge crush on Larry David. So if you have that type of sense of humor, you are the guy for her. And she's not looking for a guy who wants to fight. So more of a lover than a fighter, I think.
Interesting list.
This is great for our listeners this morning that you're telling them how they can date Jennifer Lawrence. That's a real public service that Kevin Bean Show's providing today.
Well, I try. I really try.
You know what I have to say to that? Oh, I thought I was going to fart.
Well, Jennifer Lawrence would be your girl then.
Yes, she would.
Robert Downey Jr. apparently has been making the rounds on late-night talk shows. And one of the things he mentioned on Ellen was that there was going to be an Iron Man 4 and then immediately turned around on David Letterman and said, no, there won't be. He was also on Fallon last night. And it's just really interesting because he did say a little while ago that there would absolutely not be another installment of Iron Man, right?
Right.
And so I wonder if this is just drumming up publicity, maybe.
Sounds like maybe he slipped?
Yeah, I don't know. But no, it was very deliberate the way he said it on Ellen. But it's just interesting because obviously Iron Man 3 made, you know, all of the money.
Right.
So
right.
If you look at that, I can't imagine Marvel not trying to negotiate another one.
Sure.
Well, you know what I also read, and I don't know if there's anything to this or not, is that Robert Downey Jr. wants Mel Gibson to direct it.
Huh.
And that's what he's saying, is he wants to give his friend Mel the job. He thinks he's misunderstood, and he's a good guy, and he's turned his life around, and he's obviously a great director. And he, unless this quote was made up, what I saw is he made it sound like if they'll let Mel direct it, I'm coming back.
You are provocatively dressed all the time with your fake boobs you feel you have to show off.
You want that guy directing your movie?
Yeah, you do have to deal with that, I suppose.
In NBA news, Danny Green plays for the San Antonio Spurs, did pretty much the worst thing you could do at the Holocaust Museum.
Uh-oh.
He tweeted...
That's never a good sign.
Well, he tweeted a selfie.
Yeah.
Basically, he said, you know I had to do it one time, LOL, hashtag Holocaust. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I mean, how often... I mean, oh, man, nobody thinks that's funny?
So this is kind of like Bieber at the Anne Frank house, which is just, look, there are times maybe where you don't need to tweet a photo.
Yeah, especially a selfie. You know, it just is in such poor taste. To make matters worse, obviously the current NBA champs, the Spurs, defeated in Berlin by Alba. Do you even know what team that is?
No, I don't. What's Alba?
Buzzer beater. This the first German team to win, beat an NBA team at the O2 Arena.
Oh.
And Jamel McLean apparently hit that winning shot. And I think not such a great day for the Spurs.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah. Current NBA champs, current world losers, I guess. And I have a couple celebrity birthdays for you guys. Sharon Osbourne is 62. Actor Tony Shalhoub is 61. Guillermo del Toro, one of my favorite directors, is 50. One of our favorites, comedian Nick Swardson, is 38. And can I please get a bell for Brandon Routh?
Nope.
Oh, come on, guys.
Not how it works.
My first job is me. Come on.
We don't have a man bell.
Well, if we could have one, please, I'd appreciate it. Okay. He is 35 today.
What is he doing now? He was the Superman of the movie reboot a few years ago before Henry Cavill. But what does Brandon Routh do now?
And that didn't go that well, right?
Right.
It's the one with Kate Bosworth, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So where's he now? Where's your boyfriend, Brandon Routh, that you love so much now? What's he doing?
I have no idea, but I'd like to find out.
He's on Arrow.
Oh,
thank you, Dave.
We should know that,
right.
Shouldn't we?
Kevin, that's one of your shows.
Yes, it is.
And it's now one of mine.
I thought you were going to.
Oh, that's it. Sorry. Oh, and that's the show Biz Beat.
Yes. Yes. No. Yeah, clowns dancing to this song, you'd have everything.
Ghostly things are gonna happen.
Wrong.
Ooh, ah, ooh, ah. Halloween spooks.
Now, we've been playing that song for a long time, and I hate it.
Right? Can we talk while we're listening to it, though?
Bean, really?
Outside my window.
Go ahead. What's your problem?
I hate everything about this song. This part is not as offensive, but when they start making those stupid sound effects, it drives me crazy.
It sounded like you were going to say something. You're like, we've been playing this song for a long time,
And what?
And we've been fighting about it.
Is what I was going to say.
Well, you're wrong, though, because the listeners love it.
But that's where the idea, right, that's where this year's idea came from, which is that we need some new Halloween music.
Yes.
It seems it's a perfect holiday for great music, and most of our songs are 30 years old.
Yep, and that one is 50 years old, by the way, that Halloween Spooks. But, yeah, you're right, Kevin. Most of the songs you hear this time of year are Dead Man's Party, or they're Thriller, or they're Werewolves of London, or they're the Monster Mash. They go way, way back. So we started asking our listeners to send in, and we've been playing over the past few days. We've been playing some clips from songs that have been submitted, and some of them have been pretty good. But one of them is the runaway favorite from our listeners so far. I mean, I cannot tell you how many emails and Facebook requests and Twitter mentions we've gotten on, hey, I want it as my ringtone. Hey, where can I find the real song? And that song is by a young man named Mikal Britt. Well, he was a young man when he recorded it. He was 10. I think he's significantly older than that right now, but he joins us on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Mikal. How are you, sir?
Hey, good morning, Kevin and V. Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
Pleasure to have you. I feel like we're talking to a real-life rock star right now. This is great for us.
But my life has changed overnight.
Yeah. So, Mikal, you were 10, and we're going to play some of Two Eyeballs here in a moment for folks, but you were 10 when you recorded it. How old are you now, sir?
I'm 35 now.
Okay. So
he's a high school teacher now. How about that?
Oh, really? Yeah. How about that? No. So when you think back on that magic day when inspiration struck and you laid down Two Eyeballs as a 10-year-old, tell me about what you remember.
Well, I was a big fan of Thriller, Michael Jackson's Thriller.
Right.
And I think I just thought I wanted to make my own version. Like, that looks pretty easy, like a scary dance song.
Mm-hmm. And were you a musical kid? I mean, was this unusual for you to write and record songs?
Before you answer that, can we just go back that it seems pretty easy to write scary dance songs?
Well, when you're 10, Kevin,
that's
you don't know.
Sentence.
Yeah, when you're 10, anything's possible.
All right, go ahead.
This was like probably one of my first songs, but I was always interested in music. I had a bunch of Casio keyboards. I think I recorded this on this old, I think it was on this old guitar toy called the Hot Licks.
Oh, I don't remember that.
I don't either.
The Hot Licks. And you have stayed with music. I see that you have a website now, and you're doing all sorts of creative stuff, right?
Yeah, I do a lot of, I mess around with a lot of creative stuff, yes.
Okay. All right. Can we hear a little bit of Two Eyeballs, and then we have some more questions for Mikal, because this is the one that the listeners love for Halloween.
First of all, high quality. Sorry. Love that. I gotta be honest. I don't understand. Stand a word you're saying.
Why are you so far away from the mic, Mikal?
Well, I was just recording on like a boombox.
Uh-huh.
This is just like a boombox, put a cassette tape in, press record. And, you know, I was 10 years old, so I was just, I wasn't really thinking about much else except just the performance.
Look, we love it. Don't get us wrong. We love it.
Now, Kevin, before you hit it again and before it gets into the big Two Eyeballs hook, here's what we've missed so far. Who dares to enter the House of Horrors?
Right.
It all started on a night, just like tonight. I heard a creak. It came from the attic. So I went inside, and I think that's where we pick it up.
Oh. Decent amount about music to do that weird chord change, right? That sort of scary minor key thing.
Yeah, I don't know how I knew that.
Mikal, if you remember, and I know we're going back 25 years now, but what was so scary about Two Eyeballs? Like, don't most people have two eyeballs? Like, one eyeball, that's scary. Why is two scary?
Well, because they're rolling around. They're not inside a head. They're just rolling around in the attic.
We didn't get that.
Not at all.
Are they floating in air, or are they on the floor in the attic?
I always envision them, like, on the floor rolling.
Are they side by side, or is it just mayhem?
No, they're side by side.
Side by side. Okay. Do you think they're from the same person?
Yeah, I think they are.
Okay. We're trying to get into his psyche when he was 10, like what he thought when he wrote this.
I grew up on the East Coast where you had attics. Do they have attics here? No, they don't have basements here.
They don't have either for the most part.
I had an attic as a child, and the attic was pretty terrifying place.
That was always a scary place for you.
All right, so he hears a creak in the attic. He went inside. He saw two eyeballs, and now the story continues. We find out something about what 10-year-old McCall saw on the news.
That's my favorite part because you give yourself an echo.
It's awesome.
Two eyeballs.
What did you do with this song? Did you play this for friends or family or anybody after you made it?
Yeah, some of my close friends and family definitely know this song. And I felt like I was just sitting on gold for 25 years.
Sure.
Well, you were just waiting for this moment to get it on K-Rock. You were right. You were sitting on gold, and today's the payoff, my friend.
All right. At Thanksgiving every year, everybody would go, come on, play it. I know it's later, but play it. See, what could the dream be about?
I can't imagine. Something maybe he saw on the news and then also saw in his attic.
He had a dream about
two eyeballs.
Court change.
I can so see Radiohead covering this, by the way.
Ended up what?
At a face.
At a face. So the eyeballs rolled around and then they found a face that didn't have eyeballs?
Yeah, like they found the face they were supposed to be a part of.
Oh, I see.
That was also in the attic.
Right, like they rolled, I guess they probably rolled down the stairs and out the attic.
I see. And then
two falls that roll off the table and out the door.
Right, and then somebody out there just happened to not have eyes.
Well, no, like probably the evil character that these eyes once belonged to.
I see.
Come on, Kevin, pay attention.
I'm sorry.
It's clear as day.
It's all subtext, you know?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. He's turning it on with the keyboard.
I heard a creak.
Uh-oh. Not from the attic. Not from the attic. It did come from the attic.
Oh, no. Don't go up there.
Huh?
Did you go up again?
Now, this part, I can't even understand myself.
So you don't know what you said?
I don't know. That's correct.
That's it.
But I think that I said that my dog went up
and then
came down with no head.
With no head.
Oh, no. Wow. Not that is dog. Terrifying.
What a troubled 10-year-old you were.
Seriously.
Holy cow.
McCall, would you say, is this your best song?
I would have to say it's in, like, the top three.
Sure. Know? Okay. Well, there's no shame in that, man. I mean, seriously.
That's
no
a
shame
good
in
work
that.
Right there.
I am so happy that you it's amazing to me because I am terrible at keeping stuff. Like, I don't have any of the stuff from when I was a kid. But the fact that you still had this tape from when you were 10 is awesome. And you were still able to put your hands on it and send it to us is so cool, McCall.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you guys liked it. I've been listening to you guys for a while, and I know your taste.
That's the best song ever to us.
Well, I'm not joking when I tell you the listeners have been going crazy for it, wanting it as a ringtone, and they want to hear the whole song. So with your permission, we'd like to, you know, post it, put it up on SoundCloud or something like that so people can hear it and have it. Do you mind?
Yeah, definitely. I would love that. I think it needs to be free and available to the public.
There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, the great recording artist McCall joins us here on the Kevin Meade Show. Thanks for the time, sir.
Cool. Thank you,
Malaka. I hung up on him. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Now he's made it.
I was going to say we are still looking for your songs, though. If you want to do a Halloween classic, email it to us or Twitter or however, Facebook.
But why bother once you've already heard two eyeballs?
That's a good point. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin Abicho. It is 25 minutes after 8.
Here on the 9th of Rocktober.
Try and catch us unaware, dude.
First thing this morning, Beer Mug said, I've been dropping the ball on having the Rocktober stab ready to go, but I promise you it'll be there all day today. Don't worry about it. So we're just testing him, and he's coming through. Well done.
He also said he will resign, or we can fire him.
You can fire him on the spot.
On the spot. All right.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, I love it. Keep trying.
Hey, we're going to talk about Bar Rescue, an awesome show on Spike TV with the host of the program, John Taffer, coming up next. Then Dr. Drew joins us just after 9. First, though, how about a brand new Beans Death Corner?
Hey, everybody, gather all the kiddies around the radio. It's time for Beans Death Corner.
Bean loves death any time of day. He gets all giddy and screams hooray.
There's something wrong in his head. Death.
We don't know what's wrong with Bean, but now you'll get to see what we mean.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
I love death.
There are a lot of fascinating stories in the news that involve people dying right now. Nerea Perez, 25, a Spanish lady. Man, I hate it when potentially hot 25-year-old Spanish women get killed. I hate that.
Isn't it bad, really, when anyone gets killed?
Yeah, but if they're young and hot, it's even worse. And you're going to respect the way she died. She worked at a vineyard there in Spain, and she was doing something where she was stirring the wine while it was fermenting. It's apparently part of the process. It mixes up the sediment with the yeast and the grapes. It's supposed to give a richer, fuller body to the wine, and that's what she was doing. Well, she became intoxicated, became overcome by the fumes of the wine, which I guess would have to be a real concern if you work in that industry.
Yeah.
And she fell over into the vat of wine and drowned.
Oh my God.
That is not how you would expect to go, but she that's what happened to her. Winemakers say accidents like this are more common than people think because of the gases given off by the wine while it is being made. I mean, I guess just working around it would set you up for potentially being drunk at work. No explanation as to why Kevin is experiencing the same symptoms. There's not that much wine around here, but that's the way to go. Here's a story that just happened on Tuesday of this week in New Delhi. You know, there are fewer than 100 white tigers in the world. And India has 3 of them in this one particular zoo in New Delhi. And I'm curious to see whether, since they're so rare, whether they will try to put this tiger down because he killed a zoo visitor on Tuesday. It's not really the tiger's fault. The guy was 20 years old and was drunk and jumped into the tiger enclosure to play with the cat.
You know what?
You don't kill that tiger.
No, that's on him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would. Let's thin the herd of that guy.
I agree.
Well, that would be done.
The guards,
good point.
The guard at the zoo says we do have tranquilizer guns, but we keep them at the zoo hospital. By the time we organized to bring the guns here, the tiger had already killed the man. By the way, it was a very long and complicated process to get the tiger to stop from playing with the man's body so that they could get in and remove the body. Apparently, he was in the enclosure for quite some time. There's a comedian. I don't know his name. I wish I could give him credit, but his old joke was, every zoo is a petting zoo if you're brave enough. I think in this case, maybe not a good idea. Also, other animals in the news. Here's a man in Hope, Maine, who established a... Did I tell you guys this story already? He established a sanctuary for retired circus elephants.
I don't think so.
He was found dead last Tuesday, stomped to death by one of the elephants that he saved.
Wow.
Which is,
what
again...
an ungrateful bitch.
It does seem extremely ironic, doesn't it? He has been working in the elephant rescue business since the 1970s. In fact, two of these elephants that were in his park were elephants that he worked with when he was working with the circus back then. Mm. And I don't know what the mishap was or if it was an accident
or what. I heard it was an accident.
The elephant wasn't trying to kill him?
No.
Well, he suffered multiple chest fractures and died of asphyxiation. I mean, nobody wants to get killed by an elephant, but this guy, elephants were his whole life. Yeah. Maybe that would have been his choice. I don't know. Mm. Here's a story in the Death Corner this week that involves a man who's already dead, but something fascinating happened after that. At a crematorium.
Can we vote on whether we want to hear this?
At a crematorium off the Mechanicsville Turnpike in Henrico, Virginia, a 500-pound man was being cremated.
Wow.
The body was so obese, according to the man who runs the crematorium, that the actual body fat came off and went straight up the stack. I assume he's talking about the chimney.
Yeah.
And hit the roof material. The rubber roof that we had up there is what made it go up like it did. Yes, a fire broke out on the roof of the crematorium because the guy that they were cremating down below was too fat.
Oh, wow. My God.
Three people were inside the crematorium at the time of the fire. All were able to get out unharmed. The fire was contained to the roof and was under control within a half an hour. However, the crematorium will be closed for a few days to repair damage to the roof and the furnace. I just don't understand enough about how bodies break down to know why it's that much worse, but maybe that much more fat? I don't know. And finally, in this week's Death Corner, we take you to Terre Haute, Indiana. This is, on the surface, it seems like a regular tragic story of a husband and wife fighting and a murder-suicide happening. Kelly Sampson, 50, was shot several times in the torso and head with a .40-caliber semi-automatic pistol. Her husband, dead beside her, had taken his own life. He was George Sampson, 54. The reason this story is noteworthy to me is it was their wedding night.
Yay!
What?
Their wedding night, not an anniversary?
No, their wedding night. The investigation revealed that there was a verbal argument between the couple toward the end of their wedding reception, which carried over to the after party at the couple's home.
Well, I mean, till death do us part.
Right? But who knew it was going to be in 3 hours?
Oh, my God. Do you get your wedding gift back?
I don't know what the protocol is there, Lisa. And I'm not sure that's the most important thing going through their friends and family's mind, but that it has to be. Look, I know people have horror stories of bad things that happen at their wedding or the receptions of their wedding night.
Yeah,
this has to be the worst, right?
Yeah, definitely.
How angry could you get on your wedding night?
Murder, suicide on your wedding night. That's why that story makes this week's Beans Death Corner.
That was Beans Death Corner.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
Oh, Bean loves death so much.
Running a bar is not just a business. It's a science. No one knows more about bar science than John Taffer.
I don't embrace excuses. I embrace solutions.
For more than 30 years, John has transformed hundreds of failing bars worldwide.
I believe that you could do this.
John turns money pins.
Clean the place out.
Into money makers.
Bar Rescue is back on the air. It returned for Season 4 this past Sunday. Still on Spike, but now at a new time. Sunday nights at 9 p.m. We're very excited to welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, John Taffer. Hey, John, how are you, man?
Hey, good morning. Good morning. Good to be here.
Great to talk to you. I love your style, man. You don't go in there to chit-chat. You don't go in there to make friends. You don't go in there to be popular. You go in there to get the job done and get that bar turned around in a very short amount of time.
I do, man. You know, these people are in serious trouble. You know, houses are on the line, et cetera. So I got to be aggressive. And you're right. I'm not there to make friends. I am relentless. I got to break them, change them, and then build them back up again. And they don't like it half the time, to tell you the truth. They fight back pretty hard.
When you say break them, is that like, you know, like on American Idol when Simon Cowell used to say, you're no good, and they would go, you don't know. I'm going to be good anyway. Do you get that response from bar owners?
Oh, sure. They start thinking that everything they're doing is correct. But the reality of it is they made thousands of bad decisions or I wouldn't be there.
Yeah.
These people are living in their parents' basement that's 50 years old. They're $900,000 in debt. Their houses on the line. And they're standing there defending what they've done. So as absurd as it is, they mostly fight me every step of the way.
That's what's incredible. I mean, you're a guy who comes in there with over 30 years experience on how to profitably run a business, yet they're failing at it, and they're still talking to you about how you don't know what you're talking about. I mean, it's just astonishing. A psychologist would have a field day with these people on your show, John.
Well, let's face it. If they were giants, I wouldn't be there, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, right, right. What's the biggest mistake that most of them make? I mean, you walk into bars and just go, oh, there it is again, there it is again.
Yeah, I'll tell you, the most common one actually is excuses. Rather than blaming themselves, they blame everything in the world. You know, the president, Congress, the economy, the road is under construction. Greece, that's what it is. It's because of Greece. every day if they blame somebody else, they have no reason to change. You know what I mean? So I got to make them blame themselves, and they don't like it. So they fight back. You know, they're relentless in defending themselves, but I have to be more relentless in breaking through.
John, you give a statistic out on the program from time to time about the number of bars that fail every year in America. What is it? It's over 6,000, right?
It is, generally. Out of about, by the way, is a general number, about 400,000 overall.
Wow. 400,000. Okay. So I guess the question I would have for you is it a bad – I mean, is it a dangerous occupation to get into? If you are one of those people who grows up and has always had the fantasy of owning a bar, is it a very risky proposition, or is it something that if you're smart and knowledgeable, you have a reasonable chance of making a living doing?
If you're smart and reasonable, you have an excellent chance of making a living doing it. You know what it's like, guys? It's almost like if you were into taking pills and you open the pharmacy. I mean, that's insanity. So if you're into drinking, it's not the reason to open a bar. If you're into hanging out, it's not the reason to open a bar. If you do it because you want to be in business, that's another whole situation. And those are the ones who typically succeed.
Do you find a lot of people who just love to drink until they open a bar?
Oh, absolutely.
Wow.
And the whole frat brother mentality. And some of the episodes of Bar Rescue have been that way, you know. These frat brother guys get a bar and they just drink themselves to bankruptcy. Honestly, they'd be better building a bar in their basement. It would cost them less.
Right. I mean, I guess what you're talking about, John, is these are people who get – they grow up as sports fans and then they're lucky enough to be a millionaire and they go, hey, I'm going to go out and buy a franchise because I love sports so much. It doesn't mean you know how to run a sports franchise. It's pretty easy to lose money.
Oh, great analogy. Lose money, lose games. You know, lose your dignity in the end sometimes. You know, you go in a winner, you come out a loser.
Right.
Now, that doesn't make any sense. But in the bar business, you know, they're not millionaires. These are people who put every dime on the line.
Right.
Sign their houses away and then screw it up.
All right. We're almost out of time. We're talking about Bar Rescue, which now airs Sunday nights at 9 on Spike. It's an awesome show. The season just began. What are you looking forward to for us to see later this season? Like anything exceptional in season 4 that you hadn't encountered before, John?
Well, you know, I got to tell you guys, we're in the 10th one of the season shooting now, and every one of them so far has been incredible. But this Sunday night, for the first time ever, my crew was attacked.
Attacked physically?
Yes. A cameraman got hit. Another person got pulled. And it got out of control, and you'll see it all on Sunday night's episode. This episode, Sunday, was the most upsetting I've ever done.
Wow. 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 Why is it, last question for you, John, and that is, why is it that you spend such a short amount of time turning these bars around? From the first time your crew walks in to the time you're gone is a week. Why don't you spend more time with them?
It's actually 5 days. For real.
Okay.
We have 36 hours to remodel. So I'm really with them 3.5 days. The whole point of Bar Rescue is to challenge me. You know, drop me in the worst situations you could possibly drop me in and give me 5 days to fix it, including remodeling it.
Unbelievable.
And that was the premise of the show. Honestly, when I started the show, I never thought we could find such terrible disasters. I mean, the stuff they drop me into is unbelievable sometimes. You'll see what I mean Sunday night.
All right. We can't wait. And if you ever have a spinoff show where you save radio shows, we want to be first on your list, John. Come help us, all right?
Nah, you guys are last on the list. What are you talking about?
All right, Matt. We'll talk to you later. Continued success.
Thanks, man. Good to be back.
Thank you, John.
Hey, how about some new music, Foo Fighters?
Yeah.
Actually, it's coming out next
Assholes.
Month.
Assholes.
No, the movie, it's actually coming out next month. Dave Grohl's going to be on our show in the next few days talking about the new album and the new HBO series, too. So we got you covered with Foo Fighters.
All right, good.
Hey, dear Kevin and Bean, this email begins from Steve. I thought assistant producer Christine did a great job on the showbiz beat last hour, but don't you think it would be even better for all of us if she did the next one with Lisa nibbling on her neck? That's not a bad idea, by the way.
I can see that
in the future.
And I'm naked.
I'm down.
And naked.
Her,
yeah, no, both.
Oh, you got to take it just a step too far,
what?
Omar. We're all having a good time.
What? I'd like to back up and say that was not a step too far.
Yes, it's necessary. It needs to happen.
It's a good idea, Steve. We're going to work on that behind the scenes. But
hey,
is first,
that Steve that hits it?
I don't know if it's the same Steve or not.
Oh, okay.
But first, this hour, it's Omar's turn as he fills in for Ralph Garman on the Showbiz Beat. Here on a Thursday morning show, what's going on?
It is. Good morning. It is October 9th of Rocktober. Bastard.
bastard.
You tried.
I tried. I tried my best.
What can you do?
Okay. Hey, I've been listening to the showbiz, and you guys are, by far, you guys aren't covering the hottest story.
We aren't.
No, it's DWTS. DWTS time.
Dancing with the Stars.
Oh my God, they're doing the switch up, guys.
What's the switch up?
The switch up.
I don't know what that is.
You don't know what the switch up is?
I don't know what the switch
they're
up is.
They're going to switch up their dance partners.
Oh, so okay. They have different coaches or whatever?
Yeah, nobody cares.
Yeah, I don't watch
that.
Yeah, okay. I saw that and
that's
I skipped
stupid.
It.
Yeah, that's dumb.
All right.
Gwyneth Paltrow and Martha Stewart. It's on, guys.
I love it.
It's on.
I love it.
It's on like Donkey Kong. If you guys remember back a couple weeks ago, Stewart commented on in Porter Magazine about Gwyneth. She said, she just needs to be quiet. She's a movie star. If she were confident in her acting, she wouldn't be trying to beat Martha Stewart.
Ooh.
Oh, snap!
Yeah, it's on.
So wait, you're allowed to do more than one thing.
Yeah,
totally. I mean, somebody could have said to Martha Stewart at some point, hey, you're a model. What the hell do you think you know about Home Improvement? I mean, she made the transition.
She was a model?
She was incredibly good-looking as a young woman, by
nope.
the way. Yes.
Yes,
right.
She was.
Yes, she was.
I would agree with you, Bean, but she's talking about Gwyneth Paltrow, and I hate her.
Right?
So she doesn't qualify for any kind of niceness here. Here is she was interviewed by Yahoo Insider, whatever that is.
Okay.
And they asked her about it, and they told her what Martha said. And here's her very sincere response.
If I'm really honest, I am so psyched that she sees us as competition. Like, I'm so psyched. I really am.
I really am. I'm psyched.
I'm not pissed at all.
Seriously, though.
God.
Is that her way of trying to diffuse the
probably
the
yeah.
war by basically sucking up to Martha Stewart saying, oh, you're so awesome, I'm just a little thing over here?
Yeah, which is the right thing to do.
How can we keep the war going? No, I want
yeah,
this to continue.
That is gotcha. True. It's on. Yeah. Gwyneth Paltrow said that Martha Stewart was a bitch. Sarah Silverman's in the news. We love Sarah Silverman.
She's awesome.
She's awesome. She's she actually just released a new PSA sponsored by the National Women's Law Center. And it's meant to address the stubborn gap between men's and women's pay, because I just found out, according to this, that women earn 78% about what men earn on average.
Right.
Yeah, and guys should be pissed about that, because we are usually with guys and that's all our income.
That's true.
Yeah.
So there's a quarter percent less money coming into the household than should be.
So Sarah Silverman released this PSA. You could go to her YouTube channel and watch it. It's not safe for work. But here, I brought you some highlights.
Excellent.
And, she actually, the video is about her wanting to get a sex change and become a dude because then she would get paid more. Here's some highlights.
Oh, hi. I'm Sarah Silverman, writer, comedian, and vagina owner. Every year, the average woman loses around $11,000 to the wage gap. Over the course of the working years of her life, that's almost 500 grand. That's a $500,000 vagina tax. That's why I'm taking matters into my own hands. I'm becoming a dude.
All right. And it's pretty funny. She has a selection of penises to choose from, and yeah there's one called the Seinfeld. It's very funny, so definitely check that out.
Is there Tommy Lee?
Maybe. I didn't see it, but the one
I don't want to get all serious on you guys, but why do you suppose it is that businesses would hire a woman and pay her less than a man for the exact same job?
Well, I think there's a lot of things at play, and part of it is that a lot of women will leave the workforce at some point and have kids.
So they are not as safe an investment as a long-term employee, perhaps, maybe?
I think that's part of it. And there's this idea that they're not supporting families the way that men are, which
so they don't need to make as much?
Absolutely not true, yeah.
I don't know. Both of those sound like nonsense. But
you think
people still
kind of are nonsense.
Yeah, that's weird.
But, yeah.
I think they just don't work as well as men. So why pay them more?
Yeah, I don't think you're helping.
It. Really?
Yeah, I don't think that's where we're going with this.
So?
I don't think so, Omar.
Oh,
no.
I wasn't listening.
Omar has the same thing in him that we do, which is you have to say whatever is wrong.
Sorry. The nominees for the 2015 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame are in, guys.
Nope. That's not Rocktober. It's the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. All right, this is exciting. I look forward to this day every year, Omar. Who is it?
Absolutely. We have Green Day.
Wow.
Remember, Kevin, you have to wait 25 years from your first release.
I'm That's it blows me away that they've been around for 25 years.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay, gotcha.
That's crazy.
In order to be eligible, they have to release a single or their album in 1989 or earlier.
Wow.
Now, who thinks Green Day should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Oh, absolutely.
I do.
They're game changers.
Yeah.
You think so? You don't think they were just a continuation of work that had been done before?
The album Jesus of Suburbia alone was
pretty
a piece
amazing.
Of art. Yeah, it's amazing, amazing.
All right, so we're going to put you down as a yes for Green Day.
Yes. Nine Inch Nails?
I think absolutely
sure.
Nine Inch Nails. I mean, because they're a very original, I think.
Absolutely. NWA?
Absolutely.
Although it's the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. They put rappers in there being all the time?
Yep, and pop stars now, too. Madonna is in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
So it's not rock and roll. All right.
Yeah. Who's the last one?
The Smiths?
I'd say so.
Boy, that's a tough one.
I think so.
I would agree, too.
I mean... Yeah, I guess. But see, here's the thing. They're not going to put them all in. You know what I mean? Generally, a few don't make it. But
right.
All right. So we'll say yes on Smiths.
Lou Reed?
Gotta say yes.
Yeah.
Gotta say yes.
Don't know enough to vote.
Lou Reed is a guy who you probably don't know. He just died. He did that Walk on the Wild Side.
And he's the leader of the Velvet Underground. I mean, that's kind of how he made his mark.
Yeah. Sting?
Now, the Police are already in. How about Sting as a solo artist?
I don't.
I
don't know what you just said, but I don't think so.
Certainly successful for a long time, but could his records be any more boring?
Yeah, I don't. I'm going no on him.
I'd be okay if he didn't make it on a first ballot, that's for sure.
Okay, what about the Paul Butterfield Blues Band?
Oh, they're good.
They are really good, and they were one of those groups that was very influential, didn't sell a lot of records, but very influential in terms of, you know, white blues. I wouldn't be surprised if they get in. I'll tell you, the critics love them.
What about Chic?
See, this is...
Freak. So Chic. Freak
out! They're the most successful disco band of all time, but is that what you want in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? I don't know.
Well, it's not rock and roll, right? I mean,
no.
they're taking
it's
anything,
not.
So I don't know.
I mean, Donna Summer is in, though.
Really?
Yeah.
What about Joan Jett and the Blackhearts?
I say yes.
I would say yes on them.
Yeah. The Marvelettes.
Don't know enough to vote.
They did that. You know this song. It's, hey, baby, da-da-da-da, Mr. Postman.
Yeah, they did Please, Mr. Postman. They were one of the early Motown groups.
You know that song.
They were successful, but they're no Supremes. I mean, how much of an impact did the Marvelettes make? They're kind of a lesser Motown.
Can I hear more
from
Omar?
No. Okay, let's go through the rest of really quick. The Spinners, Stevie Ray Vaughan, War, and Bill Withers, which I think is what? War from Lowrider, Bean?
That's right. Yep,
okay.
That's right.
And you could vote through December 9th. So you have that. Today, celebrity birthdays, we have Sharon Osbourne is 62. Actor Tony Shalhoub is 61. We got Scott Bakula. It's 60. Guillermo del Toro is 50. And comedian Nick Swardson is 38 years old. And that is the Showbiz Beat.
Time for our weekly visit with our good friend Dr. Drew Pinsky from the HLN show. Dr. Drew on call Monday through Thursday nights at 6. And, of course, Loveline here on K-Rock. So he's already brought the Ebola to America, Kevin. He impregnated all those teen moms. And now he's really upset. Now he's really mad about something that's going on in the medical world. Hi, doctor. Welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Thanks for trailing me and watching me get all excited about these kinds of things.
I would like to first, though, bring up the fact that you lied to us about Ebola, and we're all going to get it.
Yeah, I told you that. I told you you're all going to die,
and
I brought it here, and we're all going to be in the zombie apocalypse.
Okay, good.
That,
yeah. All right, good.
Just so we're all set.
Same page. All right.
Not that anything else seems important compared to that news, but I have rarely seen you as angry as I have this week on your HLN show about this New Jersey family, the Stormses. Could you please tell our listeners about them?
Well, it's not just the New Jersey family. It's also a Minnesota mom. Basically, these two families have kids, particularly, I think it's the New Jersey mom I talked to last night. Let me sort of summarize that one. Was that the one being, I can't even confuse the two of them now.
That's the one who's got the Dravet syndrome. The other one's got the head injury. This one's got that epilepsy.
Right. And this kid's expected to live only another 5 years. And he was on a
He's 15, by the way, Kevin.
Wow.
He's a young kid. He was on a list of medications for pain and seizure and behavior problems. And as somebody, a physician, asked his nurse mom, RN mom, you know, perhaps cannabis oil, CBD oil, would help him out. And she tried it, and it worked great, and he was able to get off all his other medications.
Wow.
And now she can't get it. She's going to have to move to Colorado. The same thing happened to a mom in Minnesota, except she went and got the CBD oil, and now is going to go to prison because she's trying to help her kid. And my point is, how stupid are our laws? How insane are they that people can't be helped by a chemical merely because people have a weird political moral point of view on it. It's
yes.
so bizarre to me.
Do you think that they don't, that the people who are against it just are blanket against it and they don't believe that people actually are helped by it?
It's a weird sort of moralistic posture. It was interesting. We had one of the Fox News-ish participants on our show last night, and she took the position that, well, there's no long-term studies yet. It hasn't gone through the FDA, which is a reasonable point of view. But by the way, on a compassionate basis, how about people getting medication if they need it?
Right.
But then the mom went, yeah, that's a good point, young lady. However, my son's going to live another 5 years, and I'd like him to live comfortably.
Yeah.
The long-term issues are not an issue to me. And my thing is, for God's sake, can't we leave doctors alone to help patients?
Well, that was going to be my question, Doctor, is what about the medical community? What do other – I mean, are there any doctors who are against them being able to prescribe this CBD, marijuana is legal in their state or not?
No, I don't think anyone's against doctors using molecules, which is all this is, a molecule that can help patients on a compassionate basis and to do the proper research and to, in very extreme circumstances, take the risk necessary to use a molecule that might be helpful – and to not have some sort of weird draconian law bearing down on them. It's so bizarre. It just exposes to me the silliness of all this and how it's different in every state. And I'm not saying I'm a huge fan of medical marijuana because it's practiced poorly in this
right.
state, particularly. It's bad medicine the way it's practiced. But the
I practice it well, first of all.
Well done. Good. I've known that
right.
about you.
I'm on it.
But let's talk about the Minnesota mom, though. She has to be in court. She's facing what charges? Child endangerment? Is that what I remember correctly?
Yeah, that was one of the charges because, you know, she was endangering her child with this dangerous substance that was helping him. And, you know, she was trafficking and all kinds of crazy stuff and in possession of a substance that's illegal. And this mom, this poor woman, is just like, look, and by the way, here's the thing that really gets me. It's like, this is just, you see this woman, you can't believe it. She's just like, look, I'm just trying to help my kid. It's like, oh, I understand. So let's spend hundreds of thousands or maybe even millions of dollars prosecuting and maybe even imprisoning this woman as opposed to just forgetting the whole damn thing. Is this really how we want to spend our money and time in this government? It is so insane.
It is. It's so shocking. I mean, this kid, he's the one I was talking about who had the severe brain trauma. And this is like the first thing that has happened that has given him some relief from the pressure in his brain. And it's not like she's cooking something up on the stove that she's injecting into him. I mean, she went to a doctor in Colorado and got this handed to her in a prescription for her kid, yet she still faces jail.
And it's not the THC, it's the CBD. And yes, we there are concerns about the teen brain and THC. And these, by the way, these kids are both, you know, what this one we're talking about in Minnesota is now 18, and so the developmental issues are not as significant.
Right.
But, you know, the CBD may not have those same concerns. Again, that all needs to be studied, but the stuff is so encumbered that people are afraid to study it. They're afraid to look at it and afraid to use it. And it's holding back helping people. And
it's infuriating, Doctor. And I asked you a couple of years ago on this show, because I think you could be the Surgeon General if you wanted to be, why you won't. And you said at the time that you feel like you can spend your time more wisely in helping more people using the media. But don't you think this is a position where you need a strong Surgeon General to stand up and say, hey, Obama administration, you're getting this wrong. We need to change these laws to help patients.
Yes, the Surgeon General could take a position, and I guess if he or she were to make a huge campaign out of it, it might change. But we're talking about what's wrong with our laws, and that's, you know, and I don't know. I think the laws need to be creative. My thing is that we've become a government of we the special interest, and we the individuals have just been so disempowered. And now the government is up the physicians' asses all the time, and so the physicians can't help people. People can't. It's just symptomatic of a bigger problem.
By the way, you have kids, and you know this as well, Dr. Drew. That it's one thing to suffer, but when your kids are suffering, it's a whole different problem.
Oh, my God. Yeah. You would do anything.
Yes.
And so, you know, to see these moms out of desperation to try to help their kids and doing reasonable things and that are working right. in circumstances where the potential harm is almost nothing. I understand maybe they broke the law and a judge wants to call them in and go wag their finger at them and go, let's all forget about this and you move on. Because, by the way, in Minnesota, it's going to be legal in 2015, by the
way. Right, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and so it's just so silly.
It's very frustrating.
Are we the government or is some draconian dictator the government here? What's happening? What's gone on? What's why Why are we going down this path, everybody?
It is a ding on America being a first world nation. It really is. It's so frustrating, Doctor. And I'm glad to see that you've been spending the time with you have on the TV show and speaking out about it, because there does need to be awareness and these people do need to be helped. And it's a great story for us to keep an eye on both of these cases, New Jersey and Minnesota.
We're keep it going on the HLN TV website that I've got, /Dr. Drew, because I don't want this stuff to – I want to keep it going. And maybe there is some, you know, maybe we can get some research going on the CBD, and maybe more people can be helped. Oh, my God. What a horrible idea.
Dr. Drew on call, HLN, Monday through Thursdays at 6, and then 5 nights a week with Loveline on Dr. Drew and Mike Catherwood here on KROQ, and the fine family of podcasts at drdrew.com and podcast1.com. Thanks for the time, man. We'll talk to you soon.
See ya.
Congratulations to Jacob Candias of Pomona for winning tickets to the Queen Mary Dark Harbor. Another chance for you to win at 10 o'clock this morning. Remember when I asked Johnny Hendrix if he was in bed? That was awesome.
I do.
That just killed that interview. Sorry. My bad.
Hey, you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Thursday. Our friend Brad Williams tweets, by the way, just to think, in 18 years, Ebola Jackson will be the number one pick in the NFL draft. Well, wouldn't be surprised if people go, hey, Ebola, that's a pretty good name. We are taking our turns filling in for Ralph in the Showbiz Beat. He will return on Monday, I promise. He's off in New York filming Ted 2 this week. And let's get started with one of my favorite days of the year was yesterday when the Neiman Marcus Christmas catalog comes out. I don't know how this is related to Showbiz, except maybe rich, famous Hollywood people are the only type of people who can afford some of the things.
But yeah, it's always absurd. It's been, like a yacht.
Exactly. They do have some incredibly expensive items every year that you just can't imagine are real. And I guess they have a department that's what they do all year long, is spend their time trying to find these items. Neiman Marcus catalog has been around since 1926, by the way, and here are some of the items that they have. Let's see. His and Hers 2014 Vilbrequin quad skis. These are high-speed water cruisers.
Oh, okay.
They can also run on land, too. They convert from on the water to on the land, like the duck boats. They cost $50,000 each. So you got that in the catalog.
I'll put that on my list.
Here's a $35,000 gift that is a cocktail-making machine that was designed from a 19th-century drawing. It's the Tanqueray No. 10 Imperial Shaker by Jason Crawley. The item comes with a cocktail class for you and as many as 20 guests and a one-year supply of Tanqueray No. 10. So this is a machine that dispenses liquor, do you think? Is that what this is?
I didn't understand that one at all. I really don't know any of those words.
Well, it only costs you $35,000. You might as well throw it on the pile. Here's a Vanity Fair Academy Awards experience. Let's say you are really into the Oscars every year, like that's your thing. For $425,000, you and a guest can have your red carpet moment. Oscar weekend kicks off in style with a stay at the Peninsula Beverly Hills Hotel. To prep for the big night, there will be hair, makeup, and a wardrobe stylist on hand and jewelry on loan.
That's pretty cool.
Interesting.
It's also crazy expensive. Like, for $425,000, you should win an Oscar, I would think.
I don't think they can do that.
Just buy one, yeah.
And here's my favorite, and this might be the most expensive item in the catalog this year, is the House of Creed Bespoke Fragrance Journey. You travel to Paris to meet with sixth-generation master perfumer Olivier Creed to craft your custom scent. The perfume will arrive in a few months with a 14 gold carat 6 liter flacon, whatever that means, and 12 14 carat gold accented leather atomizers. The price tag is $475,000.
Wow.
To create your own perfume that you then get.
Do you think that, anyone, even the rich people, buy this stuff? Or do you just think they just put these in there so that it's a talking point? Like, it's a reason to bring it up.
I think both are true.
Really? You think people buy them?
I think they do sell some items. You know, like, I saw an interview a couple years ago with one of the people who bought the submarine, for instance, when they had that one for sale. I think there are people to whom $500,000 is literally nothing.
What? Yeah, no kidding.
It's not even something they have to think about.
They have in their pocket right now?
I mean, as an example, for instance, here's a Maserati. I don't know any of these words. Ghibli SQ4. There are only 100 of them, celebrating the Italian car company's 100th anniversary. 3.0-liter V6 twin-turbo engine, produced in collaboration with Ferrari, can go from 0 to 60 in 4.7 seconds. There's only 100 of them, and they're going for $95,000 each. I bet there are a lot of people who would spend $95,000 for this Maserati.
I guess it just, I don't know. It's just so out of the realm of a possibility to think of spending, you know, more than you could buy pretty much a house in any city in the United States on one gift. That's ridiculous.
To get a perfume.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. It's crazy. But it's out there. And I'm sure they have some $25 items as well if you want to look for them.
We are very happy because it's very much a K-Rock world right now. And to prove that, I have the top 10 list of the albums.
CDs. Oh, okay. This is going to be all K-Rock all the time,
yes,
then.
Yes,
everyone loves rock music.
All about us. Number one is Blake Shelton.
He's not
country. We don't really play.
Number two is Lady Antebellum.
Country. That's that one's not us, but I bet the rest of the top 10 is all us.
The number three album is Barbra Streisand.
Well, we haven't played her in a long time.
The number four album is Tony Bennett and Lady Gaga.
So that's a no and a no.
Number five is Prince.
Okay, we don't actually.
Number six.
Technically.
Number six, we jam. I mean, number six, we are just cramming down people's throat. Kenny Chesney.
No, again, that's another country artist.
Number seven is Maroon 5.
No.
Number eight is Prince again.
Yeah, he released two albums at the same time last week.
So he's in the top 10 twice.
Really?
Number nine is Chris Brown.
And no.
And then number 10 is The Script. It may not be a K-Rock world.
Wow.
Actually, after all.
Is it a little bit of a miracle that we're still on the air on that this radio station still
that
exists?
That we exist and that you listen. We are very grateful for it because look at that. What's happening?
Not even close to
Prince is in it twice.
Yeah. I mean, like when Foo Fighters comes out, I mean, that's the type of act that is popular enough that will show up.
Agreed.
But there are very few. They're few and far between, that's for sure. Speaking of rock music, Kevin, your friend Bob Dylan has a new item coming out just in time for Christmas. This is a new book that is going to be a collection of all of Bob Dylan's lyrics since 1962.
Well, that's something that's helpful because you can't understand him when he sings them.
The book is coming out from Simon & Schuster. It's going to be 960 pages. Bob's written a lot of songs. And weigh more than 13 pounds. It's the biggest, most expensive book they have ever published in Simon & Schuster's history. The limited edition title will sell for $200. There's a really limited edition that is signed by Bob Dylan himself that will cost you $5,000.
Wow.
So I know what a big Dylan fan you are.
Yeah.
Perhaps that's that's what you ought to be asking Santa for this year is the $5,000 hand-signed by Bob Dylan book of all of his
lyrics. Look, I know that he's a legend. I know that a lot of people worship him. I know that he's a very important figure in music. That many songs can't be that good. Right? Like, not every song is gold.
No, but I mean, over the course of his, 50-year career, I mean, I guess
there's a lot of those songs that we don't need a book with lyrics in.
Maybe so.
Just saying.
Maybe so.
And straight out of 1995, the New Kids on the Block are getting their star on the Walk of Fame. So that's happening.
Hmm.
That's a deal.
Okay.
So go there and do that.
So because it's New Kids on the Block fever.
Yeah.
I don't know how this happens.
One time Superman actor Brandon Routh, who we are told is now appearing on Arrow, is 35 years old today. To kick off our celebrity birthdays, comedian Nick Swardson is 38. Guillermo del Toro turns 50 today. Actor Scott Bakula is 60. Monk himself, Tony Shalhoub, turns 61. And Sharon Osbourne from The Talk and longtime rock and roll manager and wife of Ozzy is 62 today. And that's the showbiz beat.
All right, we have a couple of pair of tickets right now to see UCLA football versus Oregon Ducks. It's October 11th at the Rose Bowl.
That's Saturday.
Get your tickets now. You can go to UCLABruins.com, or you can be the first two callers at 1-800-520-1067. Good luck and have a great time. Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin Abid Show. Robin Lord Taylor will be here. He plays the new Riddler? No, the new... Shoot, no. Oh, this hurts. Come on, Lisa, help me.
Nope.
The new... Penguin!
Yeah!
Yes.
I was going to wait as long as it took.
Me too.
It took a minute, but I did get it. We have him on tomorrow's show.
On Gotham, we should say about it.
Yes.
He plays Penguin in Gotham.
Right. Okay. We're also going to go back to RJ Bell and talk about his NFL picks for week six. He's pretty good, by the way.
He is.
He really has a pretty good record. And I don't know if you know this or not. But Walking Dead's coming back on Sunday.
Oh, I'm so excited.
And tomorrow we are going to have Chad Coleman, who plays Tyrese.
Awesome.
On The Walking Dead. That's tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.